The text before us is taken from 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and two verses selected from that chapter, beginning with verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. I continue to be more and more amazed with computer animation and how detailed it is becoming, how realistic things can be depicted now. And I think of like dinosaurs. If you go back to how dinosaurs could be depicted 10 years ago and compare it to today, it's just amazing how the animators can make them appear just so realistic. We have virtual reality rides at the Mall of America and other places where you can go in and sit in a little miniature stadium, and by controlling the seat and the atmosphere and the sound and pressures in the room and so on, and then having you watch this big screen in front of you, they can completely manipulate your feelings. And people will scream even though their chair is just moving a little bit, and because of what they're watching. All of their senses, in a way, are being controlled by this virtual reality. Some have even gone so far as develop headsets that you can wear over your eyes and gives you the sensation that you're in a room that you're not, or possibly in a vacation spot. Realtors are starting to perfect this as well, where people could actually come and put on a headset and tour different homes as if they were in them, even though they're not. It's just amazing some of the things that technology has given us in these days. In a way, in this fallen world, Satan has fitted all of us with a virtual reality about this life and about who we are. It's an artificial knowledge, an artificial reality that we can get very caught up in, and about what's important in life and about what our life is really all about and what we should be seeking in life and so on. It's very easy for us in this world, according to the world's approach to things and the knowledge that the world has, to kind of live in this artificial reality that really isn't true. The world's perspective on life, who you are, where you've come from, where you're going, who is God, what God thinks of you, and so on, the world's perspective on life is an artificial truth. Even though it might be what the majority think out there, it is still an artificial truth. I remember a few years ago listening to a PBS documentary that was dealing with death. And there was a psychologist on there that talks to people apparently frequently about death. And I just remember he said, after he was questioned about something and about how people deal with it and so on, he said, you know, in a sense, we're all living in a lie. I thought that was pretty perceptive. We're all living in a lie in this world. But the world likes to pride itself in its knowledge and in how it looks at things. The world likes to invite us to think that that's the way that we should be viewing things. The knowledge of man has accomplished a lot. It's easy for us to think that this is the answer, that this is what's going to give us truth, ultimate truth, not just about this world, but also about the world to come. It appears on the surface to offer us so many positive benefits and so many things to grab onto. And it always directs us, the world's knowledge, this false reality, it always directs us back to the things of this life to find our meaning and our value and our purpose. Now, even though you and I, as God's children, have come to see that this is a false reality because of God's revelation to us in His Word and so on, we can still relate to it and we can still get caught up in it. We still like to put the headset on once in a while and look at our lives like that. We can still get caught up in the wisdom that this world has. And when we meet somebody that is totally immersed in that, in unbelief, but looks at life completely from a humanistic standpoint and so on, it's not like we can't figure that out or understand it. We get it. We know, because right in our own hearts, there's a tug at this very thing. I can understand rampant unbelief. I can understand why people deny the resurrection and deny who Christ is and so on. I can understand how people would deny the existence of heaven and hell and all of that, deny Judgment Day. I get it. My own heart knows what it's like to have that headset on and to be tempted by that false reality. But take the world scholars on a little tour, if you would. Take the most elite scholars of the world in a variety of fields, and on Christmas night, walk them through the streets of Bethlehem and ask them to find God for you. And none of them would take you to the place where the cows are eating. On Good Friday, ask them to take you to where the door of heaven might be. None of them would take you to a dead body hanging on a cross. Ask them to point you on Good Friday, to point you to someone who is ready to enter heaven and righteous before God and on his way to heaven. They'd never take you to the thief on the cross. Take them into a sanctuary and tell them to show you where people go from belonging to Satan to belonging to God. And they wouldn't take you to that silly bowl, that bowl of water in baptism. But take a little 6-year-old Christian girl who has learned to know Jesus as her Savior and walk her through the streets of Bethlehem, and she'll point out where God is. Take her on Good Friday, and she'll show you the way to heaven. Take her into the sanctuary and ask where she became a child of God, and she'll take you over to that baptismal font. Jesus once praised his Father in heaven by saying, "You've hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes." Thank God. And God would have us always remain babes, trusting in what his word teaches us. St. Paul says, "The world through its wisdom did not know God." The world goes out chasing its false virtual reality to find God or to find meaning in life or to find what's going to happen to us or what's important to us. But the world through its wisdom did not know God. And he says, "Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world by holding the cross before us?" God's truth about how we get right with him, about what he's done for us, what he thinks of us, how we ultimately can be in his presence forever, all through Christ and through faith in him, that wonderful truth that God reveals to us is something the world is very foreign to. Martin Luther said it this way: "Faith is given, Christian faith, faith is given to throttle the neck of reason and strangle the brute." I love that. To throttle the neck of reason and strangle the brute. The true preaching of the cross uncovers the reality of who you and I are in all of our sinfulness. It also uncovers the reality of God's heart of grace toward every one of us. It uncovers the great plan of salvation. It uncovers God's strong desire that everybody here would someday get to live in heaven and taste the food of heaven. But this could never be done through the wisdom of the world. God the Holy Spirit has come and lifted that helmet of virtual reality off of our eyes, and through God's holy word now permits us to see things with such clarity. And on that final day, on the great day of judgment, how many of the world's most brilliant scholars are going to be walking along in the herd of sheep that are following Christ into the pastures of heaven? Paul says, "Not many mighty, not many noble." How grateful we are that we are so stupid in the world's eyes to believe God's greater wisdom. How wonderful that God has lifted that helmet of artificial knowledge off of us and through his word given us faith and the hope of heaven. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Amen. We join in the Collect for the Word, which you'll find on page 86 in the front part of your hymn book. Collect number 2. We will speak the Amen. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.